The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do the people say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask the children to come up close to the screen as we prepare for our children's message this morning. I got a question for you. Have your parents ever needed to build something that you guys were going to use to play on or have fun with? So there was this one time where my kids were small, and we had this outdoor play set. It was glorious. It had the eagle's nest. It had like two swings, a set of rings, a rock wall. And then on the other side of that rock wall, across the eagle's nest, this wonderful wavy slide to slide down on. So of course the kids were just full of anticipation, and quite frankly so was I, because I couldn't wait to get this thing together and see the joy in their eyes when it was finally finished. And I'm the type of person who likes to get the instructions out. Yes, I actually do that. Lay all the parts in front of me so I know I have everything and get to work. And I had everything assembled. I mean, it took more than a day, but it got there. And then the time to put the slide down. I mean, the kids were already playing on the rock wall. They had this rope that they could climb up with. And they just wanted to be able to slide down this wavy slide. And as I'm looking, I can't find the bolts that attach the slide to the top of the eagle's nest. I'm like, what is going on? Where are these things at? And I could tell the kids were getting nervous because I was getting nervous. And they're like, Dad, where's the slide? And I'm like, I'm trying, kids. I'm trying. I'm like, man, now I got to go back to the manufacturer, find these bolts. I have no idea where they're at. Until we turned the slide over. And there, taped to the back of the slide, were the bolts. Whew, man, finally, we got that thing put together. But it was just so scary at that point because we didn't have the right pieces, the right parts. And we thought the slide was a no-go. Well, our second reading today, when Paul is talking to the people in Romans, he says that every part of us, as we are the body of Christ together, every individual that forms the body of Christ, each one of you that forms the body of Christ is very important. And we need every single one of you and every single person out there to be the body of Christ. Because if we don't, if we're missing just a few pieces, we don't get that glorious feeling of sliding down the slide. We don't get the actual anticipation of being the body of Christ together and living in joy and having fun and living for one another. So it's important to have all the parts. You, children of God, are the parts of the body of Christ. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome, and we love you. We thank you for this day. all the many toys that we are able to play with, your love that Jesus shows us, and the joy it brings to be the body of Christ as we love one another, as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ this glorious day. Amen. So have you ever had a rock collection? I had one at one time. As a child, I would pick up stones that sparkled or that may or may not look like they could have been a fossil or had some type of imprint on them. And I'd pick them up from all over, from vacations, when we were camping, just about anywhere we went. And I always had the best intentions of labeling them in a well-organized box with notes on where I found them and what made them special. Special enough to pick up and look at and place in my pocket. And I continued to collect them. And years passed. Well, the box idea never got instituted. And eventually I was cleaning out my room one day, and in the dark corner under my bed, I found this rather large bag of rocks. And as I opened the bag to reveal these lost treasures, I was full of nostalgia, but not much else. What should I do with them now? You know, some of these are really cool, yet I have nothing to tie them back to the joy of where I found them. Nothing to remind me of the adventure of where I was when I grabbed them and put them in my pocket. They had lost their purpose in this bag under my bed. Well, today we hear that Simon is now Peter, the rock. But before we move to the gospel reading, our first reading today from Isaiah 51 says, "Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were sown and the quarry from which you were dug." Isaiah is talking to the people of Israel, full of nostalgia. And they are not sure about their faith and not sure about what God is doing, if anything, right now. They have endured years of exile. They are scattered and thinned out over a large territory. And they just long to be back in their homeland. They long to be in the temple, to be near their God and their community. Can we relate? The Reverend Philip W. Martin Jr. writes this: "Benevolent King Darius has promised to free them from Babylon's grip, and he looks down upon them from his throne in Persia and sees them so scattered and pitiful and doubtful of his assurances that they will ever return. And so, with great encouragement, he reminds them to look at their past experiences. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, he calls out. Look to the quarry from where you were dug. Look to Abraham and Sarah, he means, those flinty stones that bore you long ago. They were rocks of faith, who once set out alone and wandering, yet who became a nation of great number and great blessing. These are the rocks from which you were sown. This is the stuff you are made of. King Darius says, when I bring near my deliverance, your destiny will be little different. And he goes on, for this is the quarry from which you were dug. With no ties to where they were from and what they meant, the rocks in my collection just became rocks in a bag in a dark corner under my bed. Sometimes our faith can resemble that, if we forget to connect it to the love of God. We need to remember that our faith is strong as long as we keep connecting it to God's love and the community around us. Unless we tie our faith to God's love and forgiveness, mercy and grace, through sharing love and respect and justice to all, we risk forgetting the purpose of our faith to the shadows in the corners of our being. Peter gets the endorsement. The endorsement that he needs to move his faith out of the shadows and to use it in practical ways as he and the other disciples begin their next steps on their spiritual journey with Jesus. And even though Jesus tells them not to tell anyone that he's the Messiah, he makes the disciples declare who they believe Jesus is. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." He makes them search themselves for the answer provided not by flesh and blood, but by Jesus' Creator in heaven. Jesus declares it is this faith on which he will build his church. The faith that Abraham and Sarah first took with them as they left everything familiar. The faith that comes from God and not by flesh and blood. This tenacious faith, which only needs to be the size of a mustard seed to move mountains, is the foundation of the church. Yet this faith must be remembered and nourished. This faith is nourished by connecting it to the one who grants it. The one we connect with through prayer. We nourish it by connecting it to the one who grants it through thanksgiving, through purpose, through justice, through action, through remembering where it originates. We need to connect it to the one God who loves and forgives. As it says in Isaiah, "For the Lord will comfort Zion. God will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song." Amen.